o'clock and didn't post it. All right, I'll call the county commission meeting to order. So sewer board's here. I think you guys are going to have a joint meeting. Is that how we're going to probably do it, or probably?
Call our meeting to order with roll call, please.
Okay. Rob Johns.
Ron Daniels.
Nathan Easley.
William Cummings. We do have quorum.
Well, I think we scheduled the meeting. I think it was kind of spurred out of the entire conversation of when we started with the budget discussions. Ron had questions. Of course, he hadn't met with you guys as a presiding commissioner yet, besides that one time in executive. And we had multiple conversations. I'm not going to pretend to even talk about what Ron has on his list. I can just talk about a few things that are on my list, and I'm sure Danny has some items also. And actually, I'll just let Danny start with on his list if you've got some specifics. And
well, one thing that I want to get into right off the bat, because we had discussion about it this morning, was the responsibility, and I think William attended their last meeting of, and with while we've got Randy here, and Randy can go on his discussion about these manhole covers and what we might do in the future not to, when we go out for bid, not to have or to reduce the problem some as far as maybe including it in the bids for going ahead and doing the concrete surface around or not having to come back and have them establish, bringing in a core drill to do all that whenever we subcontract out and to have that that added expense. And want to know if you guys would, consider that as far as having our bid specs kind of revised on the problem that we've had there, because we've got it now. And as we had a little discussion about this morning, we had problems in virtually every location and with manhole covers. So however you guys would like to maybe address that in one of your future meetings or something like that. I know that, William, you brought up a very good point in the last time, is when does the county's responsibility on the sewer part of it, once it's turned over to, like the Bee Creek project, turned over to the city, when do they accept the responsibility? I know we, because they lay in county roads, have partial responsibility, but if the sewer is turned over to them, then they have some cost-sharing responsibility. Are you guys in agreement with me, or do you understand what my
I think
is?
Part of it has to be done with our agreements, that when the engineer writes up the agreement, just to make sure that when we do hand over a project like that, that we spell it out that they're going to be responsible for the manholes. I think possibly, I don't know the agreement, but that may have fell through the cracks, is that, on Bee Creek specifically, we maintain the road, but it's their sewer system, so who is responsible? And I think, that's the biggest thing. I think we just got to make sure we spell it out better if we have a situation like that again. And then going forward is, if you guys would be open to putting in your provision of your bids, is that a concrete pad has to be poured for each manhole. That makes it a lot easier for us when we're paving.
I think one issue with the Bee Creek project, the loophole, if you want to call it that, is that was financed with an SRF loan. So the loan was for the Tannehill County Regional Sewer District. Mm-hmm. And the way that worked was we paid the city, built it, turned the operation of it over to the city of Branson. But we can't turn over ownership of it until that loan is paid.
Gotcha.
So even though Branson's operating the system, the legal ownership is still ours.
Okay.
I think that's where some of the dissension has evolved from.
Right.
And there would be a couple of, one way to resolve that problem would just be to pay off the loan.
Right.
And say, here you go, here's your sewer system. You take care of it from here on out. And that would also save $500,000 a year in interest payments.
Right, right.
That's where some of the dissension on this occurred. Hmm.
We don't have very many of those situations. I know Bee Creek's a unique one, but I think the next one we address like that, we just need to be open to looking at some of those, what we could learn from what happened at Bee Creek. I mean, that's a little, but following also up with the manholes, we did go ahead and go out for bid again for more manhole covers. So the hope, and we talked to Mr. Suzzi and Randy in the meeting, was if there's other manholes that we need to fix, this is the time to do it, because I know we got a bunch of them last time, but we missed a few. But if there's any more out there, we need to go ahead and address those. So
something I'd like to add to that, if the district or the county does have to pay for any of those manhole repairs, just go ahead and see about putting the concrete around those at that time instead of going back to the asphalt around them. If we're going to have to do asphalt work around them anyway, you know, why not go ahead and do the concrete while we're there?
Right.
Now, are you talking about the ones that were damaged by road, the damaged road and bridge trucks?
Yeah. Or any of them that has to be raised around the manhole,
mm-hmm.
you know, any asphalt work to go ahead and do the concrete at that time. That's the way they're done.
The tapering of the asphalt and all that, I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, it's actually a buildup that could degrade, and even shave the asphalt, because it is a humping of the road. I mean, right. Fragile. But
now, I have had some of the road crews talk to me a little bit about that, and their way of thinking is they would like to have the manholes recessed. But I mean, I don't know much about it, but I can't see how the recess would work. They actually want the whole manhole lower than the edge of the asphalt, but I think it needs to be flushed.
We run into that on, I'm trying to think of that road this side of Taneyville.
Close Ford?
No, it's on the Dick, is it Dickens Road?
Dickens Circle.
Dickens Circle, where we had, what, two or three of them that were recessed lower, and a lot of calls, a lot of complaints about the, you know, driving front ends,
right,
things like that. So I wouldn't be for that at all. I mean, the recessed.
Yeah. I would like to have some more discussion with the board or with the commission or whoever to look a little bit more about this paying this SRF loan off.
Okay.
And getting rid of that. And if that's what we need to do to actually turn the project over to Branson for ownership.
And is that three, are we 3 years into the payment program of a 20-year loan?
Yeah, pretty much 3 years into it. It's scheduled to be paid off by 2023, I believe, which would be the date that the actual sewer sales tax would sunset, and that would be that year.
Mm-hmm. But if we save $500,000 a year during that time frame, we're talking about $10 million, that's another sewer project.
Right, yes.
How much is the debt right now, approximately?
Probably around 12 or 13, somewhere in that neighborhood. I've got the Andy Marmoshay's last audit from last year that identifies that. I can get you a copy of that for sure.
Andy's here.
Andy, you had your financial in there?
Yeah.
What it does to availability of funds for other...
Well, it's the thing is, I mean, I was going to look at our total funds available is what?
20.
21?
I thought I seen
the sewer sales tax?
Yeah, how much money do we have available that's not committed?
Depends on what projects we do this year and address, but...
And you guys can talk about that. I'm open to it. But if we have the cash, and obviously it saves the county money, it makes sense for us to pay off a loan early just so we can save the interest.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the money's just sitting there and we're not going to allocate it for any large project. Now, if it's going to hinder us from another project, then... You know, or if you've got a project on the horizon that we're going to have to get financing for, and the interest rate may be higher than the borrowing, we'd have to look at all that, what you guys are planning to do. I mean, I'm open. I mean, I'm open to that, too. I know Danny. It sounds like Danny is.
That really is.
And you guys seem to be open to it, too. It's just a matter of looking at the funds and what you have on the horizon from the size of the project. I know we'll probably talk about it a little bit. It's what your plans are for internal capital improvements, such as, you know, getting everything back up to reduce some of the...
Hopefully,
right.
Well, even if it's not the full boat, it's, you still put a portion of it down.
Exactly. So, well,
funding available, I mean, that's just a question, and I've seen that somewhere at 28, you had 28 million surplus?
It's like 24 million, I believe, and then the incorporated areas, a portion of that is in their accounts for their improvements within their incorporated areas, and I believe that we're around 20 or 21 million for sewer projects. And then, you know, the original budget that we had prepared in 2010, I believe that it was showing a carryover of around 4 or 5 million. But now there's probably projects budgeted for that may not begin this year, but there was money set aside for those in case the board would choose to address those projects. There had been some decreases in the amounts that had been requested. In looking at the decreased amounts, there are some projects here that we definitely need to go back and readdress budgetarily. But after these decreases were made, I believe that there was a carryover from 2011 to 12 of maybe $10 or $11 million. But PowerSite North is a project that we're currently moving forward with. Of course, the T Highway project and Lookout Acres, there's agreements in place between the sewer district, City of Forsyth, and the Lookout Acres Property Owners Association that are in place. And this is, you know, definitely one project that we hopefully will have out for bid in the next few months.
Right. So. Let me kind of address the budget thing. Just so you guys understand, when we were finishing the budget before we voted on it, we had conversations. Some things didn't get keyed in correctly. And I think a lot of the project, not a lot, you guys had some projects that were funded and some were not funded. It was just really confusing. I've asked Bob, and we're working with Bob to see what is the remedy. Do we have to reopen the entire budget to fix it administratively, or can we fix it just administratively? So he's going to be doing some research to see what the options are to fix the budget so your line items match up, because that's obviously a concern that we've got. We want to make it right. Obviously, we want to fix it because it is confusing. But Bob is working on that aspect of how do we fix it the right way. So just to keep that in mind, I get to relinquish my temporary.
John, and as you mentioned there a while ago, availability of the funds, you said 24 is what you recollected with the 4 added to it, because for some reason I thought there was 28 million.
The last report, I don't have that with me right now. I thought there's like $24 million. Then there's money.
That includes
everything.
Okay, that includes incorporated. Maybe
includes
I had the $4 or $5 million projects that was included that added up to what I thought was 28 and it should have been deducted. Maybe that's where I was off
Could
base.
Be. I don't have the document with me right now, but I think we've got about 21 or 20, 20 to 21 million in there.
Because I just scanned over it, didn't
One thing, you know, the Bee Creek project, by a lease agreement that was drafted by Mr. Paulson, you know, there has been several other issues come up with the Bee Creek project that Branson has called us about, and, you know, it's been explained to them that it's their project, and they have went ahead and addressed those issues. The manhole issue, you know, we're a few years into or a few years into the future after completing the Bee Creek project and identifying these manholes and then bidding that out. You know, that's probably been a two-year process off and on just to try to locate these manholes and stuff. And that originally came about by concerns by citizens that live in those areas. And, you know, that was communicated to Mr. Preston, and that's kind of how this thing kind of come about. And then looking at him, it wasn't, when the manhole issue first come about, we weren't too far finished with Bee Creek, so it was more or less a project-related issue, and that's how we kind of got into that, to try to get these manholes back flush with the pavement and stuff. And, you know, there was a lot of time into that, and somehow these six, you know, either through settlement during that period of time or somehow that they got missed. But there was quite an effort to go out, and like I stated earlier, you know, we had a half-inch tolerance. Mm-hmm. That we used as a gauge or as a benchmark. If it was a half inch low or half inch high, you know, that's what Mr. Preston had requested, then that manhole was going to be addressed. And so that's pretty tight. So that's why we had the number that we did, because in best cases, you know, to try to get one a quarter inch or flush, you know, without specifically having to go back and address it individually, it's tough to do, you know.
You're doing that many
of a number of them. You know?
I do not want that to be misrepresented. I'd rather it be a half inch too low as a half inch too high, because of the cost of front end plows on.
Well, I agree with you.
But Ron had brought up a real interesting issue that I think should be brought to the Sewer Board's attention, is all those that lay in roads or streets that are not maintained by Taney County. If there's problems there, have they been addressed by the public or by the Sewer Board that might, that we're not, what brings these to our attentions when the boys hit them and they make note of it? So there's others that may be out there that we need to
plow their own roads or.
Yeah, or plow their own roads, or maybe the city. I don't know where the city would turn. Any in, or is there any in the city?
There could be a few in areas that's been annexed into the city over the last little while, but there are a few roads within the areas there that are private roads, that are not county roads. I think that we looked, and Sean Berry's here with Great River, but I think that we looked at all manholes. I'm pretty sure, didn't we, Sean? That we didn't really look at it if they was county maintained or not maintained. And when we go back and readdress this again to try to see if we got any other issues out there, then we definitely plan to go back to the private maintained roads too and look at those again also.
You said you had two or three points.
Well, and then I just want to get, I was whispering over here. Sorry about that. Just getting Ron up to speed so we don't have to rehash. We briefly talked about manholes. We talked about possibly looking at paying off or paying down on the Bee Creek project. The other thing we talked about was just how we're going to resolve the budget. We were aware it wasn't just your department that was affected. There was a lot of changes that last day, and you know, it was some things just didn't get keyed like we discussed, and so we're just going to, it's not a big deal, but we got to do it the legal way, how we remedy that.
Just as a point of clarification, I don't think that there was any recommendations from the commission regarding any of the projects that John brought during the budgetary process. There was no recommendations for us to change anything. So that's something that this morning we announced that we'd be chatting about, setting up a meeting with the auditor. We'll go back. I had asked John in here about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He sent me an email of what the different line items differences were, and we're going to address all those, and we're going to correct them within the budget. We need to, and we also discussed this morning, I see council sitting back here, find the appropriate way to do that so that we do it correctly, and then we are going to do that, not just here, but with each department that was affected. So any of these that you have here, as we told John, none of these decisions were made by commission. So, and those will all be corrected. Right, gentlemen?
Yeah.
That's the intention, I believe. Is that my new copy? Is that my new other copy? Thank you.
You got to understand it that way. We didn't.
I have email also, John.
Thank you.
I need a copy.
You sent it to me.
He's always got his with him.
The next thing on the list is what really, it's open now. Ron, you can go to one of your things. I mean, I think your list may overlap with my list.
Well, as I've shared a little bit of this with John, I may have some different thoughts than Dan and Jim, but it's something that I believe that we as two commissions or two boards need to sit down and need to hash out and work out. First and foremost, it was my belief when the sewer district was created, and it was my understanding, as was relayed to me by the legal team at the time, that a sewer district once created is an autonomous political subdivision. Can sue, be sued. I don't remember what all the definition is, Bob, but you're a standalone political subdivision. The county commission is charged with the responsibility of appointing individuals to the sewer board that will manage and operate the sewer district itself. The real difference here, as I see it at least when compared with other sewer districts that exist within the county, whether it be Boone County that I've chatted with and a couple of others, is that there was a county sales tax that was passed and to be utilized for capital improvements for sewer purposes. And the real intent, John, and correct me if I'm wrong, was water quality issues back that we were facing because septic tanks were just boiling up on the ground. Y Highway was a huge example. Short Creek area was, I think, number one or number two at the time, up Acacia Club Road.
Yes.
And it was just, it was a horrible situation. So when we went to the state, asked for, got permission to put the tax on the ballot, legally, we were advised that to pass those dollars through to the sewer district, we had to have an intergovernmental agreement. That was agreed to by both sides, the sewer district and the county, because they're two separate, again, autonomous political subdivisions. We're currently passing dollars through, and there's no agreement in place. So, number one, I believe that we have to iron out what that agreement is in order to be operating within the parameters of the law, and we have to put that in place. So I think that should be a priority. I know that I have received from Bob a couple of suggestions and from you, John, as to what has occurred in the past. But I believe we need to move on that quicker rather than later. Also, originally, when right-of-way was purchased, it didn't go into the name of the Taney County Regional Sewer District. It went into the name of Taney County. And if I'm not mistaken, I understand now that it's not done that way. So I'm assuming that we have two entities that have partial ownership in some of the right-of-way easements that we have acquired out there. So that's a question I feel that we need to answer and that we need to correct. So, in fact, if we contract with the sewer district to provide the services that the county wishes to see the sales tax spent on, who's going to own those right-of-ways? Who's going to own those lines? Is it going to be the sewer district, or is it going to be Taney County? I'm not offering a suggestion one way or the other, but to me, that's a question that has to be answered before we can move forward, because that should be part of, or at least it should be considered, in putting together the intergovernmental agreement. That and another of other parameters. So I know I'm throwing a lot of challenges out there without a lot of answers, but it's things that I think we all need to sit and discuss and make some determinations about. Also feel that I, as a commissioner, now that I have the legislative authority to appoint individuals to the sewer board, need with all due diligence to appoint those individuals that I feel are going to carry out the responsibilities of the sewer board and at least listen to some of the appeals from the county commission on ways that dollars should be expended that are going to be passed through. I then think with that given and with those understandings, I need to get out of your business. And that once we've got the understanding of where we want to go, how we want to get there, that I shouldn't be coming and pushing any of your buttons about how to manage the sewer district. That's, again, gentlemen, this is my opinion. So I'm just letting you know where I'm at in this. I want to get out of your way, and I want you to do the work that you've been charged with the responsibility to complete. But I think that there are some things that we need to chat about out front and agree upon through this intergovernmental agreement before we move forward on that. Again, I touched on the budget. That's not an issue with the commission, I don't think, at least in the preliminary discussions that we've had sitting here with Rick, and we're going to move forward on that. There's some other areas, guys. These are...
I mean, I think that one of the things that came evident during the budget process was the employee and the staffing. And trying to figure out, you know, are they county employees or are they not county employees? You know, if they're not county employees, then we really need to get out of the benefits business. Other counties who have sewer districts, they're completely autonomous. They get their own benefits package. They get, and so there's no grain of the lines. And I think that what we challenged in the budget process was the lines were pretty great. And we really, I mean, Ron, my desire is also to get the agreement set up and let you guys run with it. I mean, knowing that, you know, some of the parameters, which is I don't want to continue to see the rates to continue to go up. And whatever we need to do to make sure rates stay at a reasonable level, that's something that's near and dear to me, is that I want to make sure we're competitive and whatever it takes to maintain that. And that, so, you know, however we keep that in the forefront of our mind. I mean, last year, you know, I was outspoken against adding new projects until we made sure we took care of our own system before we added any more, because it just magnifies the issue if we have infiltration issues. So one of my desires is first to get out of the way, but keep in mind that I don't want to see our rates keep on creeping up every year or every 3 years. And I mean, Boone County is $60 plus in the county right now. And that's, I don't even think that we'd ever get there. So that's really one of the concerns I've got, is making sure we have a plan to maintain a reasonable level and for the utility company to operate at a reasonable level. So,
well, just to add to that, in talking about employee staffing, obviously one of the largest expenses that you have within the utility are the employees. Is that right, John? And I'm sorry, I know you're messing something up. Maybe that's what you just handed out.
Well,
your question was what, again, Ron? The largest.
What has happened that is new to me is that you've created, or there is now, a group of employees that are a part of a utility, whatever the definition is that we want to use.
Yes.
Their salaries are paid for out of fees that are generated from users. Is that correct?
Yes. The way it was set up, in order to, well, there's kind of how it's defined also, how that employee is defined. There was a definition that these employees were county employees. The only difference was how their salaries were reimbursed back to GCR. But they're in order to provide a benefit package to these employees, as the other county employees receive, we worked through the county, and then every penny that's taken to provide the medical benefits, the other benefits that's necessary to be provided, Mr. Finley, as county auditor, would submit an invoice back down to the utility department, and then those dollars were reimbursed back to his department or back to Taney County for the provision of those benefits and payroll expenses that he incurred to do that service for the sewer district.
I understand. I don't believe that anyone that works for the sewer district can be considered a county employee. And I'm looking to Bob. Now, I mean, there are ways that we can circumvent the process, but if you're a separate political or an autonomous political subdivision, mm-hmm. and they work strictly for, that's why I've suggested to you in the past, maybe there's a way that we can do what we have done in other areas and look at those individuals who, in fact, are a part of the capital improvements process, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's just like R&B. You can't lay asphalt unless an individual is actually doing that, and as some of those expenses are picked up. And if those expenses are, in fact, picked up for those employees through a capital improvement sales tax, then am I not correct in assuming that that's going to help in what the user rate is set?
That would greatly help, yes.
So if you don't have those expenses, I see my counsel waving his head back and forth up there. Maybe I'm in uncharted water. You guys scare me. Bob, if I'm getting off, it's something that I've talked with John about. It's something that I believe that we should explore. And if the possibility exists that we can do something to alleviate user rates rising that Jim had brought up a minute ago, I'm for looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the document that I passed out to you gentlemen, and do you all have 1 and 2?
I do.
Okay. Draft number 1 is a document that goes through the number of customers we have, a residential number of commercial customers. It calculates the number of gallons of flow that these represent. And it goes through the rate structure. This is the information that we use to establish the rate. Now, John Hooker, utility manager at the time, had sat down with Mel Akins and looking at what the proposed budget would be for 2011. And, of course, with this discussions going on, we haven't finalized this yet. But on the second page of that, it shows the increases over from 2010 to 2011. And the first category there would be the salaries. And that includes, just the basic salaries, then overtime monies that are paid out and different things like that. Back on the first page, given these expenses, as John and Mel had defined those, that we may incur in 2011, that would require a rate increase, which our rate currently now for residential, for example, is $32.88. That would require a rate increase to $35.18. I think that was our next projected rate increase that we were looking at. And we would still have a shortfall of $177,000 that would have to be subsidized through our accounts or some other mechanism that we have within our monies that we've been able to put back through the good years of construction and building in Taney County. But a percent of expense paid by the users would be 85%, so that would leave 15% that we would have to subsidize just to have this rate here, just with one rate increase.
Well, you're using the word subsidize, and it would be subsidizing if this is the way that we handle these expenditures.
Well, but about the sewer district would have to add another $177,000 in there out of one of our other funds.
And what I'm suggesting possibly is mm-hmm. that we just look at multiple sources of revenue and we have one melting pot to work from. Mm-hmm. And I'm just steering away from the word subsidize.
Well, okay.
I see what you're saying because when you build it out separate like this, if you have to bring in additional revenues, you have to find them somewhere. Mm-hmm. But if, in fact, our sales tax could be utilized as a portion of these revenues that are needed, and we create a budget just like we do with general county revenue, it comes from many different sources. And that's where I'm hoping that mm-hmm. we have an opportunity to go.
I had a question. I mean, I see this as your projection. I'm following along here on draft 1 and draft 2. Did we do this? When's the last time we raised our rates?
2009 into 2010.
Yes, so basically 2 years ago.
We've had a rate increase yearly. Okay. Yes.
Are we, I mean, it seems to me that as we add more projects, our rate goes up to continue to fund the utility. That's the trends I've seen after I've been watching. As we add projects, we have to continue to raise the rate. Everyone has to pay the price as we bring a project on. Mm-hmm. And at this rate, we will never be able to stop the rate increase unless we stop building projects. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing when I look at the numbers, and that's why, you know, I've been real hesitant about approving new projects until we fix what we've got, mm-hmm. because if we had a big project, the rate increase goes up. And how do we stop that? And so that's my concern, is that we've got to be more efficient in the way we run it. Mm-hmm. And that's a concern of mine. I'll just tell you, this is a concern of mine, is
yes.
just because we're not balancing. Mm-hmm. And we're having to, you know, the rate keeps on going up.
Now, the projects that we build from an environmental standpoint are important projects.
Right.
But it, with the terrain that we have and different things like that, you know, we have to have the pump stations and all of those things that it takes to get that back to the point of treatment. The feet of collection lines that we build, the customers are not, the numbers are not that great to where we have a good economy of scale to divide those costs out into. That's been one of our problems in trying to build these projects. Of course, infiltration and systems that we've adopted
right.
over time that we plan to address this year also lend to that to a certain degree. But, you know, where a city might go 300 or 400 feet between connections, we might go, you know, 600 to 1,000 to an eighth of a mile in between homes. And then we haven't really had the growth within these systems. You know, it's thought we build them and development's going to come and we're going to add a bunch of new customers there. And we've had some growth, but not like what we expected to try to build that economy of scale up. But we do still have the cost to run these lift stations and all this equipment and stuff.
And I know legislatively it's hard to force someone. I mean, when they don't pay, if you don't have an intergovernment agreement with the water company, how do you force them to pay? I mean,
yeah, well, we do now. We have an agreement with Ascension Resorts, which is a big customer. There's a lot of condominiums within their development. We've had that for several years. We've got one with Water District Number 2 now that we have sent out the first round of letters on that, and actually over the last couple of days we've collected about $1,200. So, I mean, we're in the middle of that now.
Just one question I've got is, I show that we've got a number of 2,180 residential customers and 116 commercial customers based off of the paper here. Mm-hmm. How many connections do we have? How many connections, if everyone was connected, how many would that number be?
Probably, looking at all the structures that we serve, well over 3,000 structures. But, see, some of them structures are in multiple structures might be contained within one bill.
Okay.
That was one thing that we were going to identify through the GIS project. That was one of the criteria, was also to identify those who are not connected to the system currently. Like at Short Creek system, I believe we've got 100% connection over there.
Okay.
Looking at what the water district serves and what we have remaining of that, it matches our customer base for that area. Lakeshore Drive and Mount Branson, I feel that there might be less than 10 that's not connected.
Okay.
Coon Creek, there's a few that I know of that's not connected there. Poverty Point, I believe there's one or two people that the guys know that the homes are not connected. So I don't know if that's really that great a number or not, but that is one of the things we were going to find out through the GIS project to identify those properties. Physically, we'd have to physically. Well, we're going
to
look
at that. I don't know if you need the application to physically. You still have to go collect the data. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not hard to run some spreadsheets and see what, you know. I'm just curious what the capture rate, if we should spend more time trying to get everyone connected and forcing that versus.
I think the main thing is to look at the legal aspect of it. Those that don't connect, we send letters out, you know, that what our regulation is, different things like that, and We've sent numerous letters out to those that have not connected, and that's what I think the time should be spent looking at the legality of it. Can we force connection or not? And if we can, we need to be pursuing those endeavors.
Okay.
That was brought up in the last steering board meeting, and we talked to Mr. Paulson about that. About can we or can we not force someone to hook up?
Right.
And so I think it's going to hope that before too long it'll come to the time where we will find out
right.
if we can do that or not.
Comment. I would like to, what Mr. Strompas has said, I agree with. I can't speak for the other board members, but I come from a utility background, and the way the business has always been done here really can't continue, because if the utility can't be made self-supporting, we probably shouldn't be in the utility business. There's several what I would consider operational deficiencies that can be addressed. Infiltration, credit collections can be improved. There were several things that didn't used to exist. Some changes have been made. But every new project we put online, you're right, we compound the problem, because we have a problem now with 2,000 customers. We put 500 more customers on, we have a problem then with 2,500 customers.
Right.
There's things that we, as a group, have discussed in the past, but before real results could be obtained, we've always had an emergency of some sort. Either someone had a dead tree, something came up that steered discussion away, and over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, it just went away. But at least I feel that we need to either make the utility self-sufficient. I think operational efficiencies could do that, or we need to just get out of the utility business and just start building projects next to cities like we did with Bee Creek.
And hand it over.
Hand it over.
Yeah.
It's got to be one or the other, because we can't continue the way we are, because the future board will have a problem to solve that will be much larger than what we're trying to solve right now.
My concern is at one time in the future, the people are going to have to revote on the sales tax, which is a capital improvement tax. And if they don't pass it, then the utility is going to have to be self-sufficient. So, I mean, the reality is we need to go ahead and start striving for that now, because otherwise we've created a bigger problem for ourselves.
Right.
Well, there won't be any utility if we continue to build
right.
areas and give them away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Where will the revenue come
from? Right.
I think the commission in itself is, as we verse our viewpoint to you, we're all wanting to see the rates stay at a level that doesn't present a problem to the people that we provide the services for. One thing that bothers me is the fact that we have a, and I'm not trying to step on any toes here, but I guess I will, is as I drive down the road here a couple of months ago, and I hear that Branson is thinking about increasing their sewer fee by $6. And I don't know whether that took place or what, but it was in it was on the radio, and I had several people comment to me, didn't you just give them a $27 million project? And yes, we did. Well, then why in less than 3 years after you give that project do we have a $6 increase for that particular? So I know there's a lot more. I know there's a lot more to Branson's sewer system than just the Bee Creek project, but that is a concern to me that the rates can fluctuate to a level that people are uncomfortable hooking up. Now, I had a phone call this last week about a citizen that lived on Bee Creek that couldn't hook up to sewer, owned a lot there for years, and he decided he wanted to build a couple of structures on there. And he couldn't hook up because there was restructuring within the city's territorial agreement, is the way he put it to me, that he had went and talked to attorneys for the city of Branson and some other people there that were involved, and he said that that's the answer that he got, that he couldn't build his buildings on two lots because of a restructuring. He didn't know, and I would like to find out what that is. But what my main point is, I think the consensus is that this commission would like to see some point of stabilization of user fees.
I think there's with somebody that develops in Bee Creek that's going to connect to the sewer, they call a sewer services agreement. And I've got a copy down in my office. Bob might have a copy too, but you have to enter into an agreement to benefit from those services. And I believe that as you sign that agreement, you are agreeing to abide by the city rules and regulations to a certain degree. The agreement I've got is the condominium development that built out there. Mm-hmm. That was theirs. So I think that might be something that this gentleman might be incurring, possibly.
Okay, if he's got two lots there and he's had them there for years and years before the sewer project was in, and he decides that he wants to build on those lots, but he can't build on them now because of a sewer issue, then I think there's a problem somewhere. I don't know where it's at. The investigation may take us somewhere, but I don't understand if a person wanted to do that, how he can be prohibited from a county resident. The territorial agreement has something to do with it, but it's a restructuring. I think we need to know about that.
Well, I mean, it's the city of Branson who's managing and maintaining that entire infrastructure now, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's really a Branson discussion, even though he's a county resident. It has nothing to do with the sewer district at this point. On this Bee Creek side, unless I'm saying it wrong, I mean, we put it in and turned it over to him.
Yes.
So, yes. I know that those people who chose not to annex in were... They're paying a different rate, too. I mean, they're paying a half-time rate.
Two and a half-time rate.
Sorry about that.
I realize that we have an agreement in place, and I realize that we're still on the hook for several million dollars for having developed or built this particular area, and by agreement have handed it over. But do we still physically own the lines and the right-of-way? Yes?
Yes.
I'm just curious. I'm learning, and I'm sorry. I should have chosen a better time to do that.
Department of Natural Resources, that state revolving fund loan, we could not transfer 100% whole ownership to the city because of the outstanding balance on that loan until that loan's repaid. The legalities of I don't want to get into that, but that's the understanding, and that was what was stated in the documents of how the agreements were structured.
Let me ask you a question a little off track, but I'm curious. Had we not given that to the city of Branson, would the fees that are generated be carrying the maintenance of that system out there today?
You know, we didn't really look into it that close. It is a predominantly gravity sewer system with a large customer base.
But isn't about 25% not connected still?
Probably could be. But that, you know, what would that have done to our rate structure? Honestly, that had not been looked into.
Well, and for treatment, wouldn't it be like a higher treatment price if we owned it?
Well, while we're looking at Meadow Ridge, it would be a much higher treatment cost.
Two and a half?
It would be like we're paying Hollister $2.52, and the Meadow Ridge issue is $4 and something, so it was almost double what we're paying anybody else for treatment. So, but honestly, that had not really been looked into. That was in 1999 when that agreement was penned. It was just a thought that was going to go to the city, and we didn't look into it that close.
I don't want to leave what I brought up because I want to find out what's, and I think you said it's a city issue, but I still have concerns that we have a resident that's willing to pay, willing to hook up, willing to do all these things, but he can't get hooked up to a system that this county paid for and give to the city of Branson. There's something that doesn't make sense about that situation.
Details. I mean, we can investigate any, but we need to get a name, and we need to at least talk to him. Is it Mike Ray?
Mike Ray.
And have him investigate from his side and start doing the due diligence. I would assume talking to the city of Branson, if someone wants to hook up, they would take their money in a heartbeat. So I don't know what the details is. Most of it's gravity, like you said, anyway. So
some are, yeah. I've got one gentleman over there that lives off of Depew. I won't mention his name. He's got a septic tank problem, and the sewer is up in the street, needs to be extended. The cost of putting in a septic tank is kind of marginal to the cost of hooked to sewer. So theoretically, it would probably, the right thing to do would be to connect the sewer. However, he has talked to the city. The city wants him to sign this sewer facilities agreement in which he agrees to build by the city or any improvements to his property. And he also, part of that, has to sign some kind of a voluntary annexation escrow agreement that should he become contiguous, he would annex into the city. And he don't want to annex into the city of Branson. But he wants to fix his septic system. But he's into that situation to where, in order to connect to that sewer, he has to sign that agreement. And that's been his issue for quite a while.
Well, wasn't that part of our agreement as we did the yes. sewer project? And the extra, the territorial agreement was that it was voluntary annexation?
Those
paragraph 10 under it was amended in 2006.
Did you get the mic there?
The original contract the commission at the time had a lot of problems with, and it was amended. As you remember, it was hotly negotiated between the sewer board, the commission, and the city. And in 2006, there was an amendment, and paragraph 10 says that the city agrees that all sewer customers along the sewer lines of the subject of this agreement will be allowed to connect with the subject sewer in this agreement without annexing their property into the city limits of Branson and without being required to sign any agreement to annex. This applies to the residents of Table Rock Acres as well. Customers connecting to the Bee Creek sewer line who are not exempted by the provisions in paragraph 8 of the agreement are still responsible for paying the hookup fee as set forth in the City of Branson Municipal Code, as it may be amended from time to time. And then it goes on to talk about the rates being 2.5 times outside the city. But, I mean, there was a hookup fee if they hooked up within a certain period of time that they wouldn't even have to pay. And they may have to, they're going to have to pay that hookup fee now if they're going to hook up. That was only for a limited period of time. And there's a lot of other provisions in here. There's several that changed in 2006 because the commission did not share the commission from 1999's view of giving away the sewers and doing a lot of the things that the city of Branson had already been granted by the sewer board, the exclusive territorial agreement, if you remember. Anyway.
This gentleman was just outside of the project boundary. That's why he would need a pump to pump to get up to where the trunk sewer is located, but he was outside the boundary, and that's why service was not extended at the time of the project to his property. So
I just say this, and then I'll leave that issue. You guys can go on to, but, I mean, he's got two attorneys working on this because in these economic times, if a person wanted to build and has two lots that he wants to build on, it looks to me like that there's somewhere there's a hang-up that's not being addressed.
Well, I mean, like I said, if you want to give me his name, I can shoot over to Mike Gray and let him start working on it.
Yeah.
Mike may not even know.
He does. Mike Ray's name was mentioned. Okay.
I got a question here.
Yes,
when looking at the expenses for the utility.
Which draft are you looking at?
Oh, the one you guys handed out. Oh, I'm sorry. One.
Okay.
Have we ever looked at outsourcing this utility so that we can decrease some of these expenses?
We've never officially. I mean, I've thought about it, but I've never taken more than just a thought last year. But I don't think the board's ever looked at that, have they?
We actually had outsourced it back and up until 2001, and then that's where we started hiring staff. We've done the billing in-house, but as far as the operation and maintenance, that was something that we had contracted out with White River Valley Environmental there for a while, and then just individuals. And that's when we started with Acacia Club Road. We had three lift stations, you know, and it wasn't really didn't look like it was any issue or any reason to look at hiring staff just for something like that. And then Lakeshore Drive, Mount Branson come on. But as we grew,
like Mr. Van Gelder come on the board, we was looking at issues like that, and that's where it become maybe it might be more cost-effective, given these contracts, to start hiring some staff and building a utility and getting in the business. We started out with two employees, and then that was added. We added another employee to that, Leo Swinehart, come on board. And then in 2006 is when we said we needed a utility manager to start getting involved in the day-to-day operations because of the increased workloads and stuff like that. There is a company that has recently purchased Aqua Source water system over west of Hollister there on Acacia Club Road, well, in the Riverside Estates subdivision area, that and he is currently purchasing Roark Valley Sewer and Water from White River Valley Electric over Stonebridge area, and they had approached the city of Branson if they may want to sell their utilities, and I think the city did not want to do that, but there is out of St. Louis. I think it's American Water Works or something to that nature. I've got his card in the office. But
would it be a good idea to at least throw an RFP out there to see what someone would charge us to do this?
My opinion, I think it's worthwhile. I think we'll have to do some collection of data before we can do that. I think.
What kind of data are you looking for?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I just make sure that we're prepared. I mean, a lot of times, when we put other RFPs out, we always get surprised with the number of questions that get asked us, and then it delays the entire process. But I'm open to about anything if we can maintain these rates. I mean, that going back to I think your first goal is making the utility a self-sustaining utility. I mean, we need to get to that point sooner versus later.
What is it? What would everybody feel would be at a rate that we want to maintain? Does anybody have an idea what that would be?
I'm not so sure you're ever going to get efficiencies out of this right now. That's my biggest concern. And you're never going to get efficiencies until you can make them pay and make them hook up. But we can still operate that by doing the billing.
Right.
But as far as this goes, I mean, I think we're being redundant on having our own utility versus what someone else could manage it for us for, where we wouldn't have to double up on some of these costs.
What we've run into is that somebody to do it and do it right is probably going to be expensive. We don't know what that would be unless we would pursue that, but some of the people that we had doing it, there was always a question on how well it was being done, and at every board meeting we'd have a series of questions over issues that would come up and different things like that. And there was an idea that there would be more pride and ownership if we had our own staff out there doing things and stuff, and that's kind of where that transition happened at. But there were a lot of issues, and we couldn't be out there riding around with these contractors all the time, you know, seeing if they're doing things right or not. And actually, we had some instances where alarms had been unplugged and different things like that because they would be called out at night and different things, or somehow they accidentally got unplugged out of the alarm units. But and stuff was missing and some issues there. But
wouldn't our liability go down greatly if someone else is responsible for the flow and the logs and all that kind of stuff?
I would think so from a liability perspective. I would think so.
I don't know about that. We'd have a layer of protection if they were properly insured, but our liability would be the ultimate party again to respond to its superior or whatever.
There'd be another layer between us.
A layer between us, but we'd still be ultimately responsible. So if they,
I guess, if someone ignores a leak, and it would be their layer before it hit our layer.
Right.
If we were outsourcing it, right?
If DNR fined us, and we were at fault, even though it was our subcontractor or our contractor or whatever that was at fault, we would still get the fine. We would just have any agreement with them that they're responsible to pay for any fines, and we'd have to make sure they had insurance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it could protect us, but we would still have the same liability.
Okay.
Well, you know, the thing that I've heard for years, I know we're talking about the financial thing that has to be some correction made on, but the thing that I've heard for years is the establishment of the sewer board and the establishment of county sewers is to clean the water up in the area. And when it first started, I'm sure there was projects addressed that were deficit projects that could never be paid for initially right off the bat. But the concentration of the county commission and the citizens of this county, because they voted on it, was to clean the lakes up. The sewer systems that we have in place now that virtually are not paying the bill are still serving the purpose. I guess that's where I'm going with this. So we have to make it a viable project, but we can't lose the thought of the general purpose from the very beginning.
That leads me to reiterate my previous statement. Why the sewer district's been formed for how long? Since the mid-90s?
1988.
Yeah. I'm still wondering why we can't cut somebody off or force them to hook up. If they don't pay us and we put a project in to clean the water up, we ought to be able to make sure that every septic tank is hooked up to that line. If they don't pay us, we ought to be able to cut their sewer off. They'll pay us. They don't have any other alternative at that point in time. They'll pay us. But to let everyone else pay for the higher price because someone doesn't want to hook up or because someone doesn't want to pay us is exactly what we're sitting here talking about today.
You're right, Rob. I think in the past the policy has been, here recently, within the last year, there's been some steps taken to pursue some collections. But in the past, policy was we're going to mail out a statement every month. And if you want to pay it, we really appreciate it. And if you don't, we'll send you another one just like it next month, except for a few more dollars, and we're not going to cut your sewer off. And we've got plenty of stamps, so we'll just keep that up. And you'll always have sewer, and you never have to pay us.
And eventually we'll charge it off.
And eventually we'll charge it off. That's kind of the way things were done. We found out these things came to light over a period of time, but we have several operational issues that need to be addressed. And I feel that if they would be addressed properly, we could probably keep the rate low and probably operate at least on a break-even basis.
When we first started talking about cleaning up the streams and the lakes, and that was the initial intent, there was a huge fight over the possibility of rates going up to $17.50. Remember? I do. And I understand what you're saying, Danny. We can't lose sight of what the overall goal is. But I think that if we don't get a handle on where expenses are headed, we're not going to be in operation. And we're not going to be able to provide the service because we're not going to have the funds that are needed to do it. And we have to get a handle on what these expenses are, regardless of whether that's privatizing or whatever options we have to look at. I think we need to look at everything. I'm concerned about, the county had no ability to build a sewer district, or to build sewers. That's what we were told. That's why the sewer district was formed, so that we could contract with the political subdivision that did have the authority to build sewers. And that's what we did, and passed the sales tax to fund it. But no. And maybe the utility that you have, and I see the continued efforts to establish sewer utilities, self-supporting entity, maybe that's exactly what we need to do. But if, in fact, it's not, and if we need to combine that, and if we need to bring all those employees under one mantle, if you will, then I think we need to look at that. I know that if you take them out of the equation, it's a lot less money that's going to be needed.
That happened,
from the users.
If that happened, that's what draft number two did, is that with the expenses of the salaries and different things like that, and that needs to be adjusted somewhat, of course, but that would, for example, if that occurred, the rate could stay the same, whether we all support that or not, but the rate could stay virtually the same, and we'd only have a shortfall of $15,000 instead of $177,000 and a rate increase. So,
again, John, I missed the first part of what you were saying.
If the staff
And overtime and the wages and the benefits and those things were taken out of the utility cost or expenses, then that would only create a shortfall of $15,000. And this is staying at the current rate that we're currently paying today.
I hear what you're saying, but if we're a standalone entity, you've got to have salaries to operate.
That's why I thought that that was being discussed of finding another avenue to pay those salaries.
I guess I'm looking, if we completely outsource this, salaries are going to be in someone's bid.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got
the point is whether we pay it from fees that are generated by users or it's part of expenses that come from sales tax. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. If the sales tax goes away, then what? I mean, we're back in the same hole. Mm-hmm. We just don't prolong the inevitable, which that's what I'm concerned
about. One concern I would have is just as an individual that we have measures to control the cost effectively haven't been followed through with at this point in time. If we make, if the subsidy was there where we didn't have a deficit every year, that's going to further reduce the incentive to control operating costs. I mean, if you know your employment hinges on keeping costs down, making the operation as efficient as possible, that's to most people, that's incentive. If you take that away, it's just, well, we're going to go do this, and it doesn't really matter what it costs. I don't know that it's nice to think that we could supplement the income with capital improvement tax, but I'm not sure with the operation of the utility itself, that's really the best way to go.
You brought in examples of that when we had a meeting at the depot down there, and you brought in examples of where they could use that sales tax for salaries. Do you remember that discussion as we had it? We had this same discussion 2 years ago, and it was at Hollister Depot that you were talking about this. But at that very point, you brought up this same issue. Is it not a free fall as not efficiently operating? And you made mention of that same thing. I don't know the exact date, but we were talking about it, and there was it was a legal issue that was talked about. Mr. Paulson, I think, was there, and we all talked about it, but that doesn't solve the problem of efficient utility running.
Yeah. You need water and sewer on the same line wherever you can have. Either you own the water or somebody else does, it contracts with you to shut it off.
One of the projects that's being looked at, pursued at this point, and I personally would like to see it as a standalone project, is the infiltration issue, because from what we were told or led to believe, and I think it's probably right, that with the amount of water that we have just running into the gravity system, it may account for 20%, maybe a little bit more, of what we actually pay to treat every month. And we pay $30,000 to $40,000 probably every month for treatment costs. So if you take 20% of that off every month over a period of 12 months, that's probably going to cover our deficit in itself. It's never all going to go away. But the other thing as far as clean water, if water runs in, obviously sewer can run out. And if one of our objectives is to clean up the water in the area, we want to make sure that we're not actually contributing to it.
And that's taken on these, let me get this right, that's not the systems that we put in the ground. That's the systems that we take on as we take in projects, right?
No. We've got some.
Our systems are failing, and we haven't maintained them at an existing rate, and the infiltration's happened through a failing system. We haven't reinvested the money to keep our system.
Well, in conversation,
but there's got to be a percentage of that too.
There's a lot of that. I mean,
you've
had discussions about, and when we were in discussions about the Bee Creek project, there were certain places that we could not take in because the water that was coming in for was going to be a cost to the treatment factor. And discussions in some of those places went ahead and after a while were taken in. I could name some of them off, I won't.
Well, like Spring Meadow Subdivision, that's a concern. And then Holiday Hills, Silverleaf Resorts over there is a concern. And Coon Creek Line, definitely, that's one we built.
Yeah, that's one
that
we
through
built.
Settlement or some reason, it's got problems there for sure on it. There has been a lot of adopted systems, though, that add to that.
But the Coon Creek Line is obviously if it runs down a creek bed, you have water running in the vicinity. If you have an opening, either water's going to go in or sewage is going to come out, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But there's projects like that will probably, once they can start, that type of project will reduce our overall operating costs because we'll be paying to treat less sewage every month. It's actually not sewage. It didn't start out that way. Also, if we can get our cutoffs, non-use cutoffs, fully functional so we can start collections better as far as past due accounts. Several things that have been discussed, the wheels have started to move, but the GIS project that was discussed, that's probably a key piece of it also. If we keep the utility, being able to use the GIS project should improve the operational efficiency of the utility, but due to the reduction of employee downtime, if it turns out that the utility at some point would be outsourced because it was determined by everyone involved that we just can't make it work, then you would already have the entire system mapped and would know what you would have when you started talking to people about taking it over. So there are several things that have started, but because of what I would call new project pressures, we haven't been able to adequately focus on some of these cost control measures.
Mm-hmm. Something else I'd like to add, if Mr. Johns and Mr. Daniels both have mentioned it, and probably the disconnection has always been an issue. It's been talked about in the sewer board meetings a number of times. Disconnecting the sewer is not a problem. That can be done. Very simple. The problem lies in the liability of that. Damage of property or health issue. So, I mean, we've always just been in the air. You know, how do we do that and take the liability away from the district once we do that?
That's been discussed. The liability has always been a concern, but even with the power company, the Empire, White River, City Utilities of Springfield, if you don't pay your bill, barring the cold weather rule and certain things, we're going to come out and pull the meter, shut your power off. And we don't check to make sure that you don't have a freezer full of meat, a refrigerator full of food that can spoil when the power's turned off. You know, we don't do that. Probably if you don't have it turned back on, all your food's going to spoil. The same way with the water company. If the water company shuts your water off, it's a possibility you could have a water heater failure. There's a liability involved in all of that, but it's still done because you haven't paid for a service.
Well, we don't mind doing that if legal counsel and everybody's on board and we can protect ourselves from liability. We've got a backhoe and we've got access to bigger backhoes. And honestly, if that's what we're directed to do, we'll do it.
I don't know if that's the answer.
I mean, we're trying to do the water shutoff where we got that, and we're in the middle of that now. We sent those out, and that seems to be pretty productive.
That's a start.
Yeah, and maybe we can...
So where do we go from here? I mean, I think one of the things I hear is that we're going to identify the employee situation.
Well, there's been some great comments about that, that it made me really stop and start thinking about
right
where I was headed. If, in fact, there's going to continue to be this sewer utility
with employees, then I think, and maybe I'll call on you, Rick, to check with the different agencies. I know we went through this recently with, I think, the health center. Because I believe that if, in fact, there's going to be a separate entity, that there are going to be employees of that entity governed by the board that hires them. And you're going to have to go through loggers. You're going to have to go through your own bid process for health insurance and for all things that we consider to be benefits through the utility, through the political subdivision. It's going to be separated. It has to be separated. That's just my thought, but we have to get opinions, I think, from the state on that. Bob, have you got any input on that at all? I'm just...
On the issue of the employees? Or...
Oh, yeah, that's what we're... Yes.
They have...
made some very good points about not the word that you didn't like, subsidizing over a period of time. And if you're going to have this separate entity, you're going to have to have that entity employ their own people, unless somehow they're doing something for the county that the county can also pay them for. If what they are utility workers, they're going to have to be paid for by the sewer district. And that includes their benefits and everything else, unless there's some sort of contractual arrangement.
And what do you do if they've been receiving SERF and other county benefits for a number of years and you just cut them off? Or?
Well, you could cut them off if they continue to be employed and you no longer offer those services.
Because you'd have loggers, but then SERF is but a county
employee. They would continue if...
What I was looking for when I first suggested this, John, was hopefully a solution. So that we could do all of these things and continue, and that these additional dollars would be there. There's been a number of good points that have been made, and an argument basically exists within my mind now that maybe I shouldn't even contemplate that. And believe me, that's where I was at and where I was wanting to head. But I'm really speaking two different things here that are diametrically opposed. You can't have an autonomous political subdivision, and only in some situations and not in others. It is either an autonomous political subdivision, which I know that it is, or it's not. It can't be half pregnant. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for here. It's just...
And the other alternative, and I don't even know if it is an alternative, is if in 1988 the county couldn't do a sewer system, that maybe they can now, it'd have to be looked at. And if the sewer district didn't want to do this and the county wanted to, then it would all be county, and the county could supplement all it wanted with GCR. And I'm not saying you ought to do that. I'm just saying that that's always a...
Yeah, but the fundamental problem is if we can't operate break even, I don't want it.
Why would you?
I don't want it.
I agree.
I don't know that we do.
I don't know how you could provide the level of benefits that these guys get now because they get very little salary. You know, that's the attraction, really, some benefits that not... You know, for the small group of people that we have.
I'm not suggesting doing away with any benefits. I'm suggesting that they have to be
paid for by the sewer district.
Paid for.
Well, then they are.
They are now.
They are now.
I'm just saying that it has to be set up. Health center did that. We used to do that for the health center.
I thought we was talking about having to set up our own medical insurance program.
You might.
I mean, that would greatly affect the rates, or we would have very little benefit at all.
You're still paying. You pay through hours or the one that's created?
Well, we're paying with the county with a group that's got 250 employees or maybe more going down to a group of 10 employees.
And we're not making a decision today, but a lot of the other sewer districts that I've talked to in the state, they're completely separate. They have their own benefits, separate organization. They are not piggybacked off the county. Mm-hmm. So, that's how they operate. And I think everything needs to be considered at this point. Once again, we've got to get to a break-even point. And if the threshold of break-even is our rates need to be $40 a month, then that's what they have to be. But I don't want to see an increase every year or every other year. And that's my biggest concern is where does it stop?
Jim, I'll scoot it on.
As Danny pointed out, it's not just the providing the service for the sewer. We have to look at the big picture. and that's clean water within Taney County. And so if there are additional dollars that are forthcoming from the county to provide clean water within Taney County, I'm a huge supporter of that. That's why the sewer district was created in the first place. I was there when they did that. That's why it was done. And I feel it's, I want you all to understand I'm in support of that and want to find what's the best way for us to accomplish in the most effective and efficient manner possible that we can.
Ron, let's go back to what they were talking about and what Ron Daniels brought up. If we do if we can identify where the infiltration is, and he said that would be a break-even situation, so let's look at that. I mean, if the GIS department and we start coming together on that so that you know the number of people that are hooked up and the number of the amount of flow that is being feed, then if there's a disproportionate amount in those areas, let's look at, I mean, it's not replacing the whole line, it's replacing a particular area. Let's look at, because we're in cooperation with the GIS from several departments. I mean, we've got several people that need that ability to do so. But if you have 30 homes out here and you have a flow that is twice the amount that it should be, well, then we need to concentrate on that. And if it can be made up half of the 177,000 that you're short now can be made up during that, well, let's look at all that and start that from the process. Now, we have initiated already the fact that we are going to pursue this GIS mapping deal and have overlays of different things, the way that in discussions that we've had. So is that something that we could, if it can be made up in one department of this thing with the amount of infiltration of water that we're paying for in treatment, why don't we concentrate on that?
I don't want to speak for the sewer board, but for a second, I'll try just for a second. I think they have some concerns regarding the GIS, and their concerns aren't whether they, well, their concerns are whether they can do it on a time in a timely fashion for them, and in a fashion that they're going to get if they go with the private entity. If it can be done on that basis, I don't think they have a problem with it, but they may have a problem with it just not getting done or taking too long to get done or not being being done in the manner that they want it done. Did I speak okay?
And this, I understand. I knew that was a concern when we came up the first time with the GIS. My concern is this. It is an application that has to be maintained, okay? Otherwise, it'll be outdated. So we maintain it by hiring staff, which raises the operational cost of the county. My concern is that you put it in, and then operationally you're going to have to pay somebody to keep it current, thus raising the prices of operational expenses for the sewer utility. That's why I said if we can help work with you to get it up and going, we have staff that probably could maintain it and keep the cost down. It's not the initial investment that bothers me, because you guys have got the money. It's the ongoing. It's beyond, it's next year or 2 years from now. What's it cost to maintain? Because we have two full-time staffers plus subscription fees plus training that we pay our people to stay current on it. That's my only concern. It's not so much the initial investment. That I think that's minor compared to the big picture. That's the only reason I'm hesitant and keep on saying, let's, you know, I'd be even for hiring a contract labor to help our staff get the thing implemented faster, as long as we can maintain it and we can absorb the operational costs. I'm open to any suggestion on that. My concern is we don't need to be adding more operational expenses to the utility. And that's the only reason I'm pushing back on it. That's the only reason, not from the initial investment.
That's my concern, is that with staff and how staff comes and goes, that we get somebody trained and then something else comes available that's better somewhere, and then they leave, and then there we are. We're there. If there was some way with people with
not an individual, but a department that you did have that to fall back on in time that could help you until you could get another one of your staff trained up or something like that, because we're dealing with a limited number of people anyway.
What would be the problem if we would move forward with this on a private contractor? One of the requirements would be that system that the sewer district could pay for, because they're going to utilize most of the county's information anyway. I mean, you already have a system in place.
Right.
There's no reason to reinvent the wheel. That's been discussed. They would really start with the existing data anyway, and then basically add some layers to it. And so it wouldn't be anything starting from scratch. So actually the county, you know, if that was the choice after the fact, it could be maintained by the GIS department.
What
we're talking about is you got the sewer utility paying a fee, paying somebody to get those layers created, and then overlaying them onto the existing GIS versus maintaining a whole other application. That's what I was kind of referring to.
And the county wants layers from any entity. It can, because that helps the county as well.
Right.
We try to maintain the layers as they change from the electric company, from whomever.
I mean, I came from a conference I flew in yesterday from the conference over 5 days, and I'm on an IT steering committee for the country on IT, and GIS is a major issue across the country where different departments have created their own application, and it's inconsistent delivery of layers. Basically, you have a citizen comes in and says it one form, one way, and then another system within the same county, it's a different way, and then eventually all these counties are trying to actually consolidate to reduce expenses. I mean, we had numerous sessions on GIS and how do you move forward on the delivery of data to the citizen. So that's why I want to make sure we're exploring every option before we say that's the angle. I mean, if it's more resources, let's look at more resources to get us the data collected and then create the layers. And if we still can't do it, then we've tried at least to we've tried to keep the cost down. If it doesn't work, then, you know, because the layers, once they're created, can go on any application.
Well, the whole project came up initially when Mr. Johns asked John CT if he had a complete list of everyone in the county that was hooked on the sewer, or could be, and the response was no, we need some inventory taken. And that's kind of how the project started, and then there was a suggestion made to John to go back and brainstorm with staff on ways the system, if it was put together right, could be used to increase the operational efficiency.
Right.
And I think at the time we were told that Mr. Hooker had went out with some of the GIS staff and they had tried the GIS and points to start working on it, and it would never come in right. There's been an effort to try to do it in-house, and it didn't work out. It was just kind of a waste of time.
Like it normally happens, people got pulled off on other projects,
One of these projects...
They did.
Well, the thing is, on a project like this, we would need another person. Everyone's got a very full schedule as it is. We need to bring, we need to bring the resources in to get the project done, and then where's the data reside is one of the issues too.
Yeah.
How do you fix the project without the data? How do you fix the solution to this whole problem?
We got to get it collected. I mean, that's the thing.
Sorry, I mean, the whole problem with $177,000 right now that is off balance is that we don't have the data. And how do you get the data without the GIS?
Right.
So that's the whole.
We've got all of the systems that the county or the sewer district has built is on a DVD that Great River has, that they'd be willing to share that information with whoever, whatever firm that we worked with or the county if we do it in-house. And those are in AutoCAD, they're in shape files, they're in PDF format, so that information is there to be laid over the base map. And then there were some other perimeters that we wanted to be addressed as part of the project also, and that was one was to do the study on who's connected, who's not, and some other things. And then as we went forward, once we get the base map created, then the next phase would be, if supported by the Sewer Board and County Commission, would be to go back into those areas, where we might have inconsistency on the plans that we know are there and then address those. And it's kind of, and that's where it would start. There was some training in that on the software and some different things, assistance in buying equipment because the sewer district and in talking with the IS department, they wanted the sewer district staff to be fluent in how to use the units in order to get the locations and be able to do some of that work ourselves like Road and Bridge does, which I've got some people that's really interested in that. They'd love to learn something like that. And so that was kind of how the plan started out. But a lot of the data is there. There's a percentage of that data that may have some inaccuracies due to a line being changed or due to field changes. So that's basically what our request was take the existing data and then apply that to the base map and then some other things to be done. So.
What other things do we want to discuss, Ron, on the agenda that was posted?
There was a personnel issue.
That's your agenda.
Been an executive session, I think, was requested there for the last meeting or some discussion.
Did we post it for that, too?
Yeah, it's on the posting.
We did post it for that, too? I was just making sure our posting met with your posting.
Well, we verified that.
Yep.
I hope it does.
Is that what we want to do next?
Well, first let me say, John handed over the summary board members' comments.
William had a copy of that yesterday. Well, one thing.
That's a full load right there. Wow. Good stuff.
It is. It's good things.
Did I make a comment on that? That was developed. Each board member compiled a list independently as thoughts. What their concerns were with the current situation of the sewer district and what they thought needed to happen in the future to get us on the right direction with the compass. And those thoughts were all taken and these are compiled. But to start at the top, the items that were mentioned most often are at the top of the list and we worked out. So basically if you read, these were all important and all brought up, but the ones at the top of the list were the ones that say this number one item, every board member that was on their list independently. So that's how this list was generated. It was just a compiled list of independent board member thoughts.
Those are all concerns that need to be addressed, is what you're...
I can get you guys a copy of that, too.
Yeah.
I'll have the staff to bring that.
It was basically generated that Ross has as priority from each board member in order.
It's a good
list.
Got a copy?
Maybe Susie's got a copy.
She's one for the something with large fonts. Three yellow colors if you got them. Just 16. He's not a 64 color guy.
Kind of to recap a little bit about what we're doing now, the Spring Meadows area is an area that's high infiltration concerns. We currently have 40 easements in that area. We're trying to capture the easements needed. Some of the sewer lines are not in the streets. There were some of those lines that were just built prior to the sewer district taking possession that were out of easements, so we're trying to clarify those issues. We have water termination agreements with all the water providers except one, and that's the American Water Works company that's buying AquaSource out. I talked to the gentleman. He seems somewhat willing to discuss the option of doing an agreement with us on that. Unfortunately, they're not formed under the statute that requires them to do that, but so that might be helpful there. The issue of required connection, Mr. Paulson is going to look into that and report back to the board at the next meeting whether he feels he has the time to look into that or should we outsource that question.
What's the question again?
Whether we can require connection to the sewer service or not. You're just going to see how your time looks and stuff.
While you're on that, John, what's your best guess on how many people are not connected?
I would say, not including Ozark Beach, but looking at what we have, probably 20 to 30.
People total?
I don't think it's going to be as great as what we're afraid it is. Of structures that's not actually connected to the sewer.
B Creek may be the greatest.
Well, I'm looking at what we maintain.
Okay.
I'm so Table Rock Acres and those other areas, there could be several.
I thought it was larger than that.
If you count Bee Creek, it's larger, but Bee Creek again is the city of Branson.
One more question. It goes back to the utility employees. A thought. I'm just asking because it doesn't make me feel any better knowing that we have employees and they're not in county employees. So my question is, and this may not be acceptable to the board, but I'm throwing it out for thought. If the people that work for the utility right now who are county employees, could the utility enter into a contract with the county to provide those employee services to us? It would still be, the county would still be reimbursed for the salary and benefits. Would that be an acceptable method, or is that too far off the wall?
As one commissioner, let me just talk about one. It's something to be considered. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Let's say that two of the employees have really bad situation and it affects the entire rate of the county paying for the county. We had three or four last year that affected our rate. No, it was 2 years ago, affected our rate substantially. So that would be the concern I would have is that, I hate to say, are they healthy, are they not healthy? That's what it comes down to is, you can't do that. That would be a concern of why I wouldn't look at, is that's why keeping it completely separate is because then you pay the entire burden rate of those employees, and that's why, that'd be my only hesitation.
And there are other benefit pools, aren't there, somewhere?
And that, like I said, we're looking at, we're far from making a decision on that. But yeah, there's always a lot of options out there.
I would say that we've done a survey of our sewer rate, and while it's not equal to Branson's, of course, we're about in the median of areas around our area. That's Republic, Springfield.
We are.
Merriam Woods, you know, Forsyth.
What is Branson's?
Branson's, if you're in the city, it's probably around $10 or $12 a month based on a 5,500-gallon-a-month average user.
And what do they charge us to ship sewage in?
Well, they don't charge us. Well, if you live outside the city of Branson, you would pay 2.5 times that rate.
Which is about what our rate is, approximately.
Yeah.
It could be. It may be a little less, you know.
So actually, $10.
Yeah, it's cheaper if you're paying 2.5 time rate.
$25, something like that.
Does it cost that much more for them to receive that?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but by statute they can charge if they provide services outside their corporate limits. By statute they can charge that. Now, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe we should have them run our utility. They can offer it for $6.
What do we?
Well, they could.
What do we
use
get charged
their
at Hollister?
Scale.
What do we get charged at Hollister per to treat?
$2.52 per 1,000 gallons.
You know, that's not.
Well, we take their economy of scale and put it into ours. But, you know, you have to have agreements on rate increases and different things like that, you know.
We didn't really touch on the conversation about turning it over to the municipalities to operate once we built it.
Yeah.
I mean, we do away with our utility at that point in time, but there's no revenue, there's no expenses. Mm-hmm. And then we get back in the business of building sewers. Just like the tax dollars are for.
Right.
But you were talking about the rate to the city of Branson. Is that subsidized from somewhere else?
It is. It is subsidized by tourism.
And that's our weakness is we don't have any. We just got
there's a percentage. I don't know what the percentage, but you're right. There's a percentage of sewer subsidized by the tourism tax.
Right. I don't know any of the other board. Nathan, William, Rob, speak up. But I personally don't feel an obligation, a great need for us to keep the utility if we can make something else work. But if we keep it, then I really feel the necessity to make it pay for itself. If we can't make it self-sufficient, then we probably shouldn't be running it and I don't get a lot of satisfaction by saying, hey, we operate a utility.
Right.
I'm not so sure it's in anyone's best interest for us to operate the utility. But there again, I don't know what it's going to cost if we don't operate the utility. We're going off of a
right.
hypothetical thought right now.
Well, you raised a good point about where's the incentive to keep costs down.
But if we don't operate it, there's someone is going to have to oversee it. Whoever operates
the our tank, incentive.
There's going to have to be somebody.
Well, your two options is to private outsource it or to gift it over to the municipalities to incorporate it in their system.
Our incentive to keep costs down as a staff is that we have direction by the sewer board to look into every option that the sewer board requires.
I got to stop you a minute there, John. There's $18,000, $19,000 in overtime here.
Yeah.
There is no incentive to keep costs down when there's another employee in overtime on the 2011 budget even.
I agree. That's where you need a utility manager that's managing those people. That's on top.
We had one in 2010, and there was still that much.
Yeah, we did. We don't now.
The sewer board cannot manage this utility. We see it twice a month, a couple hours, and we hear what we're told. We don't know the full picture.
Yeah.
So we cannot be responsible for managing the utility. We can only direct it.
We're at least on the agenda to go into executive session to talk about personnel, correct?
That's correct.
Was that the only?
That's the only statute we had posted.
Okay. First, let me announce this. The session that was scheduled for 1 o'clock has been canceled on economic development. Is that correct?
Correct. I posted. I'm not prepared to talk about it. So.
I would like to ask before we go into executive session. Is there any individual in the room that's been listening to any of these discussions, and I noticed there's different engineering companies that are represented here, who would like to make comments about any of the topics that we've been talking about? Because believe me, I'm looking for any information that can help me make better decisions. Any of them, except Jan. Gentlemen?
Here's a microphone.
How do other counties or sewer districts address these issues would be helpful? Are there any successes you see out there that we might be able to share some of their successes with them by chatting with them? Is there any information that you all think might be helpful to us?
Mike Zimmerman with HDR. We've been working with lots of communities, lots of sewer districts around the state. Some communities, some cities, some sewer districts have talked to like an Empire or a White River to have them do the billing. They've got a cost per month per person to do that. They've been successful in doing that. Some communities have some districts have outsourced the operation of the system. Like I think Regional Sewer District outsourced part of Short Creek and Lakeshore to Hollister for several years. I think that's correct, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
And so that would be something to investigate. One thing to keep in mind is a lot of the surrounding communities, when you start comparing sewer bills, most of them have a large component of that bill, which is debt service, which you all don't have. So yours is straight O&M costs. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Now, in terms of I&I, we work with lots of large communities on infiltration inflow. And we've discovered that the best you can hope for is potentially a 40% reduction in anticipated I&I. Now, we recommend to all our clients that they look at the benefit-to-cost ratio. For example, if you're paying $100,000 to treat your wastewater, to have it treated, if you spend X amount of dollars on reducing your I&I, what is the expected amount of I&I reduction you're going to expect? What's that going to be reflected back in cost savings? And then how much are you going to spend to get those savings? Make sure that is a cost-effective thing. So we've gone through that with a lot of communities, and we're currently working with Independence, Johnson County, Lee Summit, Rolla, and Neosho on just those types of things to make sure that you get the best bang for your buck on that. But I&I is a big item that EPA and DNR are going to be pushing more and more. And the district, if they do stay in the business, needs to have a program for addressing I&I. It's a real critical thing. So those are about the only...
Can I put you on the spot?
Sure.
Typically, when cities accept wastewater or sewage or whatever from political subdivisions, such as the county, is it fair to assume that a lot of the money that they're raking in from those entities is gravy, that it doesn't cost that much money for them to?
In some cases, absolutely. In fact, I know of some communities who have a regional facility. They use what the outlying communities pay them to help support their system. But that needs to be very carefully looked at. And you, any agreement you have, you need to have an audit that is audited by both parties to make sure there's a fair rate charged. Now, on the Big Creek project, I'm going to go back on that a little bit. There was a lot of discussion on that originally. And I think that the sewer board and the commission were able to negotiate with Branson to eliminate the connection fee for existing users. That was a big contentious point. And also the forcing them to annexation was also a big contentious thing, and that's in that agreement. So that's something that Mr. Strahan, that can help address those answers, the question he had earlier today.
It just seems to me that as we look at other intergovernmental agreements with cities, that maybe we ought to take the entire picture into perspective. And you scratch my back over here, I scratch your back over here, where we both save money. So I just...
Any other questions for me?
Thank you.
You bet.
You other gentlemen? Either of you? I would entertain a motion to go into executive session.
May I say something before
yes.
we do?
Yes, sir.
What was the county growth rate from 00 to 10?
39,000 to 51,000 people census-wise.
Okay, what percent is that? About 12 on Philip, just under 30. If it was a skip, we could all take a ride. But if we subsidized or funded our utility through the county sales tax, and it went away in 2023, it would only require about a 33% increase in the county if they were, overall increase, same growth rate, another 700 customers hooked onto our utility with a similar wage scale as what is in this budget to fund, to pay for it. So if the sewer tax went away in 12 years, if the county grows at the same rate as it did, it would fund itself.
If it develops along those lines.
Right. But theoretically, it arguably would. But that's a big if.
Gentlemen, do we want to go into executive session?
It's up to you. I don't have anything specific. So I just,
yeah, we did.
There was one issue.
Okay. Yeah. Motion to go into executive pursuant 610.21.3. First step.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session for reasons of personnel. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carried unanimously.
You guys need to do the same thing.
Motion to go into executive session for the sewer board.
I'll make that motion.